All right, Dory from the future here. Before we get started, I totally forgot to mention in all of my recording of this podcast that I created a great multi-page companion piece for you, free to get. So if you like getting these notes for these podcasts, you need to head over to focalpointspodcast.com and download the companion piece that goes with this podcast. It goes into all the points that I made in the recording and also a few that I just didn't have time to cover. So this is really, really important for those of you who might deal with imposter syndrome or just, you know, deal with the fact that you don't quite feel like you belong or deserve the credit that you have worked so hard to try and get. So we're going to dive into this now, but just remember, we have this piece. Thefocalpointspodcast.com is where you want to go to get this. Download it today, and you'll also be able to see the resources that I've talked about in the podcast if you need a little bit of help dealing with imposter syndrome. So with all that said, let's get started for the Focal Points Podcast. How many times does a thought come into your head saying, I really shouldn't do this. Who am I to do this? I don't deserve this. And all of those negative thoughts entering your mind, and you try and fight with yourself with why you actually deserve to take that step, to make the amount of money, to charge the prices that you have, to get the clientele that you want. Do you deal with these types of negative thoughts? If you do, and I have a feeling it's most of people listening to this podcast deal with these negative thoughts, I want to talk about that today. It's something called imposter syndrome, and that's something that we see tossed around all the time. But what is it? What can we do to fight it? And what does it mean when we succumb to it in our business? Well, let's talk about it today on the Focal Points Podcast. Welcome to Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by me, Dory Howell. This is the place to be if you want to ditch the overwhelm in your business and start creating a business that you love. If your social media is anything like mine when it comes to self-help and that type of posts, I see a lot of things every day talking about imposter syndrome. And imposter syndrome, I think, has become kind of one of those phrases that is popular, but people really don't know exactly what it is. And they don't know if they're suffering. I say suffering a little bit in jest, because I don't know if people really, really suffer from imposter syndrome, but it can have a bearing on how successful you are. So I thought it would be good to talk about. So recognizing and dealing with your own worth is something that is really important. We all need to feel like we are valued and can contribute well to society, right? But many times what happens is our brain starts playing tricks on us. Remember, I've said this many, many times in the past, that our brain is there to keep us safe. And so it doesn't necessarily always want us to walk into the unknown and to try things that it might think is risky. And we have that dealing in our subconscious all the time. And the imposter syndrome is part of that part of our brain. This is, oh, you don't deserve that. You shouldn't do that. It's one of those things that's holding us back. And because it's not in the forefront and because it's in dealing in our subconscious, we don't always realize exactly what is happening. And it comes to fruition, or dare I say manifest, even though I hate that word so much, it manifests itself in different ways in our business. So how can we recognize our worth, recognize the fact that we are worthy of earning the money, getting the clients, all those different things without being limited by the negative thoughts that we have in our mind, right? Well, imposter syndrome is really, really common. Everybody that I know on some level, very high level or low level, deals with imposter syndrome. And it affects so many people. Billie Eilish has an interview where she talks specifically about imposter syndrome and not feeling like she belongs at the table with well-known and established songwriters. Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas are incredible songwriters. They've earned Oscars and multi-platinum albums when it comes to their skills. And yet Billie Eilish is still saying, I don't believe that I deserve to sit at the table, even though she has made more money and gotten more awards than some of the people that she's sitting at the table with. The other day I was on my walk, and those of you who listen to this podcast know I use my Apple Fitness app a lot, and they have a program called Time to Walk. And in it was, it's stories by well-known individuals from We had Al Roker. We've had a lot of people. But I was listening to one by Trixie Mattel. And if you don't know who Trixie Mattel is, Trixie Mattel is a very, very well-known drag artist who has won RuPaul's Drag Race, RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, is very well-known. And they talk about them feeling like they don't belong and the imposter syndrome struggle that they deal with. And this is something that is discussed all the time. You could go to YouTube and find thousands and thousands of videos talking about imposter syndrome with interviews from very, very, very well-known and very successful people who have struggled with the negative thoughts that have stopped them from maybe taking action in some way. Imposter syndrome is characterized by feelings of self-doubt, inadequacy, and the fear of being exposed as a fraud, despite the evidence of success. Like I said with Billie Eilish, she sits there at this table and she says, "I don't feel like I belong." Yet she has the proof that she belongs. And just like in the photography world, you can be dealing with a very, very well-known artist and they're saying, "I just don't feel like I'm worthy of this." Even though they've gotten awards after awards and they've made tens of thousands of dollars with their craft, you still have these thoughts of inadequacy in your brain. And how do we deal with this? Overcoming imposter syndrome is essential. It's something that we all have to deal with, and it's essential for personal and professional growth. It allows us as individuals to recognize our own true self-worth. So we're talking about exploring the nature of imposter syndrome, its impact on us, and we're going to talk about practical strategies to overcome it. So imposter syndrome refers to the persistent belief that one's achievements are the result of external factors other than your own ability and effort. So if you're experiencing imposter syndrome, you might often dismiss your accomplishments and live in constant fear of being exposed as a fraud. So you might say that all these things happen to you, and you can look at other people and do this too, because I know people do this all the time. You can look at other people and say, "Oh, they're only there because of the family that they were born into. They're only there because they knew this person. They're only there because someone found them on a street corner and thought they'd be really good at, you know, a model, so to speak. They didn't have anything to do with where they are today." And I can tell you, with most successful people, no matter what you see on the outside looking into their world, no one is incredibly successful because they were born into a certain family or because they were discovered in some way and it's been all external forces leading to their success. It just doesn't happen that way. But many people live that way and say, "Oh, I just met the right person at the right time and it just happened, like it was no big deal. All of my personal qualities and personal talents didn't have anything to do with it." And that internal struggle, when you're struggling with that, you know, laying in bed at night, it can lead to diminished self-esteem, it can lead to anxiety, and it can be really, this is where I see it in photographers so, so clearly. It can lead to a reluctance in taking on new challenges or experiences. So understanding the nature of imposter syndrome is the first step in overcoming it. How many of you stop yourself from doing things because you're scared? And I believe that imposter syndrome really in its core is another form of fear. And we don't do things when we're fearful because we're scared of what other people will think. And that's ultimately what most people are scared of. We might be scared like we don't have a certain talent here, or we don't have a certain piece of knowledge there. But the fact of the matter is that we can build skills and we can build knowledge, but we can't control what other people think of us taking steps and actions into what we want to do. So we become fearful. And the fact of the matter is some people say, "Well, I'm scared if I don't achieve the goals that I want. I'm scared of all these different things." But ultimately, it all boils down to you're scared of what people are going to think. And people might say that they're not scared of that, but ultimately many people who are not taking action in their business and their life in making things better or pursuing a dream or trying something different, it's because you're scared of what other people think. So recognizing the signs of imposter syndrome is crucial for addressing the impact that it's going to have on your business and your life. So here are some of the common signs. Persistent self-doubt. not just like every once in a while self-doubt, but persistent self-doubt. That's the feeling of being unworthy and doubting your abilities, even though you've gone to school for something, even though you've trained for something, even though you know you have the knowledge and the skills to achieve it, you still think that you can't do it. The second thing is discounting the achievements that you have had in your life. So many people who struggle with imposter syndrome, they're minimizing or they're attributing their success to external factors, and it's not having to do with their education or their skills or their efforts. And then here's where it boils down, people. This is where everything where the rubber meets the road. It's the fear of failure. 100%. How many of us are scared that if we do something, it just won't work? We're scared of making mistakes. We're scared of someone saying, ah, see, I told you that wouldn't work. I told you that was a bad idea. We don't want to hear those messages from people that we love or from the experience. We don't want to experience that. So we don't act because we're scared that it just won't. Whatever we're trying to do, it won't work. A lot of people struggle with perfectionism. That means you're setting unrealistic standards and constantly striving for flawlessness. So done is better than perfect. We hear that all the time. You could put that on your on a post-it, on your computer screen, on your camera bag, wherever you want to put it. Put it in a sticker on your Stanley, whatever. But done is better than perfect. It will never be perfect. And the reason it'll never be perfect is because we are not perfect beings. Humans are not perfect. No matter how much we think that it's going to be perfect, it never will be, because first of all, if you're looking to external verification that something is perfect, perfect is subjective. No one's ever going to agree that something is perfect, because everyone has different perspectives of what they're looking at, different situations and looking at different things. Just like going to an art gallery, some may see the Statue of David is perfect, and other people might say, his abs aren't defined enough, right? It's all subjective. So if you're striving to be perfect, understand that you're never going to get there, first of all, because we're flawed human beings and nothing is ever perfect. And if you're looking to outside entities to say that something is perfect, it will never be perfect, because no one's coming from it from the same perspective that you are. And then the other way that we see people having signs of imposter syndrome is they overwork. Literally, you overcompensate for maybe what your perceived shortcomings are by working excessively to prove oneself. Now, I want to kind of reframe that a little bit. Overworking can be bad when you're just overworking because you want to prove yourself. But sometimes our businesses need some hard work. Sometimes our businesses need some late nights. Sometimes our businesses mean that we're working on the weekends. Like, we understand that. There is a difference between overworking because you want to see success and overworking to compensate to prove yourself that you're worthy of something. Those five things are really, really key in identifying where you might be struggling with negative thought patterns and imposter syndrome. So how can you reframe a lot of these thoughts? Because that's what it comes down to. I believe that how we look at life really has to do with our perspective. My perspective as a white middle-aged woman living in the suburbs, married with one child, growing up the way that I did, I have a certain perspective of life. My perspective of life is going to be very, very different than a person of color who grew up in the city, going to public schools, and maybe had different parental figures in their life, right? They have a different perspective. So one really effective strategy of overcoming imposter syndrome is to reframe these negative thoughts and beliefs, and understanding that maybe your perspective isn't right. And a lot of us don't want to consider that maybe the way that we look at life, maybe the way that we look at situations is skewed by the external circumstances, the way that we were raised, what we have going on in our life at one point in time. We have to understand that the way we look at life is not always the right way. It's not always the correct way for the situation. So you need to start by challenging your self-critical inner dialogue and perspectives. And you need to replace those things with positive and affirming statements. How many of you have affirmations posted on the inside of the medicine cabinet in your bathroom or in your car or on your computer or in your camera bag, where you are worthy of all good things, that you deserve to charge the prices, you deserve to make the money? Anytime that you have done any sort of affirmational work, that can help reframe what's going on in your mind and try and get rid of those negative thoughts. So, for example, instead of thinking that you don't deserve this promotion or you don't deserve to get paid several thousand dollars for a portrait session, reframe it and recognize the work that you've put into getting there. I have worked hard to get where I am in my business. I have worked hard to refine my business to find the clients that want to work with me. I deserve this recognition. And regularly practice positive affirmations to reinforce the self-belief and counteract imposter syndrome's negative effect. Now, this self-worth and self-work seems a little woo-woo, and I might have lost some of you already by talking about this. I want you to understand my perspective of coming at this imposter syndrome and some of this self-work. I am not a woo person. I do not believe in the common idea of manifestation. I do not necessarily believe in a lot of the ideas in popular culture right now these days. I think crystals are ridiculous. I think a lot of this stuff that's putting out in the world today is not helpful at all. And that's my perspective. That's my belief alone. If you believe that, that's totally fine. You do you, I'll do me. But I think one area where I really struggled for a long time was this idea of affirmations. And then I got to talking and learning from my good friend, Dr. Shannon Irving, and how much the brain impacts what we think and what we do. And so what I did for a long time was, anytime a negative idea popped into my head, I stopped it and I said a positive thing 3 to 5 times. If I said, oh, they're never going to hire me. Oh, no. When I send off that response to an inquiry, they're never going to hire me. Oh, no. We're not going to think that. They are going to hire me. They are going to love working with me. They are going to love their images. I deserve to have them as a client. By doing that over and over and over and over again, it really helped reframe my brain. And you can learn about this from Dr. Shannon and many other people who are so generous with their time and their information as far as the brain. She's a neuroscientist and she understands how all this works. And there's actual sense, like science behind this. But if you haven't dove into that this deeply, just by making the simple change of changing the thoughts that were crossing in my mind, it really got me to understand that I had so much more control and so much more to offer just because I started to believe that I did, right? So engaging in your self-reflection allows you to gain a deeper understanding of your strengths, of your achievements, and your areas of growth. Take time to acknowledge these accomplishments. There's nothing wrong with reminding yourself every once in a while, or like sitting in the car, or like when you're cooking dinner, or you're just out with friends or something. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I look cute today. Yeah, I had a really great sale today. That was really great. I love that. I deserve that. I worked hard for that. Instead of maybe using words like deserved, because some people struggle with that, to say, I worked hard for that. I earned it, because you did. Embrace your self-acceptance by acknowledging that no one is perfect, like we said earlier, and making mistakes is a natural part of growth. It's going to happen to everybody. And treat yourself with compassion and kindness, just like you would a friend or a loved one. So I love this exercise that we went through a while back. I did it when I was with another company with Shannon Irving. And she said, talk to yourself like you would talk to a friend or a child. And so many of us give ourselves such hard messages. Would you tell a child that they looked overweight? Would you tell a child that they didn't deserve something? Would you tell a child that they were lazy? Would you tell a child that they absolutely didn't deserve where they were in life because it happened for them and everybody else did all the work and they didn't do anything? Would you ever tell a child that? So why do we tell ourselves that? We really, really need to be careful about how we speak to ourselves. It's something that is so very, very important. Treat yourself with compassion and kindness and empathy and respect. And these keys can really help you overcome imposter syndrome. So, but if you're struggling with this, it can become so isolating, but you don't have to face it alone. There's many, many people that you can talk to. You can talk to trusted friends, family members, or even mentors and coaches. I deal a lot when I'm dealing with my mentoring clients about their feelings of self-worth when it comes to growing their business or charging a certain amount or putting themselves out there in a marketing campaign. We deal a lot with this because everyone suffers with it. And once you can gain a fresh perspective and realize that many others experience these types of struggles, it's so freeing. You are not alone, but there are support groups and there is professional guidance if this really is an overwhelming type of thought process in your mind, because it can be rooted in many deep beliefs, but there are strategies for overcoming these things. And I want to say this really, really carefully. There is the kind of self-talk that everyone struggles with. And then there are really, really dark thoughts that you might struggle with. If you are in a situation where you experience a really specific area of deep, dark thoughts that are becoming overwhelming and you can't stop those in your brain by a little few self-affirmations, please seek professional help. And I will put some information in the show notes for this. So click over that if you have it. You don't want to mess with those types of things. Everyone is worthy to the life that they want to have. But so many people struggle with so many deep, dark thoughts that an online coach or someone like that is not the place to go. Social media is not the place to go for that. Please seek professional help. And like I said, we'll list some resources in the show notes for that. But normal, regular, run-of-the-mill imposter syndrome that all of us struggle with is something that you need to deal with. Or what happens is your business will stop growing. Your life will stop growing. You will stop wanting to do the things that you want to do. And in Time to Walk podcast that I listened to with Trixie Mattel, I loved it so much. They're like, change the hair, wear the purple hair, put on the lipstick, put on that outfit, wear those shoes, do the things that you want to do. Even if people are going to roll their eyes at you, have fun with it. I have such great respect for people who can be free in their expression when it comes to their clothes and their makeup and their hair. I think it's wonderful. And I pretty much do what I want when it comes to that. I choose to express myself a little more wildly in other ways. But do the things that you want to do. Celebrate your successes, and no matter how small they may be, recognize your accomplishments. And those accomplishments are a result of your efforts and skills and perseverance. Now, equally important is learning from the things that haven't worked and the setbacks that you've encountered. But instead of looking at them from the eyes of being confirmations of your imposter syndrome and that you're not worthy, reframe them as opportunities for growth. You learned something. So for example, we had a party last night for 20 high schoolers at my house. It was after a dance. And a lot of parents don't like a lot of teenagers in their house. And I get it. We just happen to have a house where it works well to have the kids over. And this was the first time that we did it for so many. And we learned some things. And so my daughter, who hosted the party, she was very anxious about it. And afterwards, we were kind of decompressing about this party. And I said, listen, we learned some things, right? We learned that maybe to stop people from going into certain rooms of your house, maybe we need to put some locks on our storage room. Nobody was doing anything bad. They were just being teenagers, right? Walking around and figuring out the lay of the land and everything. So we learned that, okay, we need to maybe put some locks on the door just to make it easier for her to manage the party, because it's her party at her house. She needs to manage the main party area. But we realized his parents were like, it's too much to ask her to also manage keeping kids out of certain areas when it's a very easy fix for us to put some locks on the door handles. Easy enough. We're going to do that. We learned what they like to drink and what they don't like to drink, so we can make that adjustment for next time. We learned that with teenagers, they're really hot. And it got really hot down in the basement. So we learned that next time we need to have some temperature control options, maybe opening the back door, opening some windows so that they have some fresh air coming in because the temperature was just really hot. And with the temperature getting really hot, they drank a lot of water, right? Well, we didn't have enough water bottles down there. So we learned next time we need to have some more water bottles down there. So all these different things, it could have been a situation where my daughter looked at the party and said, oh my gosh, this was a horrible thing because of all these different things. And she was very anxious about it and everything like that. I said, no. The party was a success. Did everyone have fun? She said, yeah, everybody had a great time. Great. What did we learn as hosts? We went through what we learned and what we're going to do different for next time. And then it's all good. Not a problem at all. But the constant work of me as someone who's, you know, midlife and needing to reframe some of those things are lessons that I'm passing down to my daughter. I say, we're not going to embrace failure as just something that happens. They're just setbacks. We're going to reframe those things. We're going to learn from it so that next time we're coming at a situation from experience, not from a situation of failure. So the other thing that you can do when you're dealing with imposter syndrome and you're looking at a really big task or something big that you want to do is set your realistic goals and break them down into manageable steps. We hear this all the time, right? So by focusing on specific tasks or milestones, you can build confidence and when you see that tangible process. We're going to be talking about SMART goals in a later episode. So those are goals that are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. All of those things, when we go into it in a future episode, you need to set those goals so they align with your goal. So they're in alignment, and then you break them down into actionable steps. And if you have the actionable steps, it's just a matter of doing A, B, C, D, and then all of a sudden you've reached your goal. And you can celebrate each milestone along the way, reinforcing your belief in your abilities, which is so important. And dealing with imposter syndrome, I think we also really need to realize that you have to continually learn. Learning is a lifelong journey and no one has all the answers. Don't think that anyone has all the answers to everything. And you can do that by getting mentors, getting coaching, attending workshops, taking courses, reading books. All of those things are ways that you can continue to learn. Investing in your personal growth is the best investment that you can ever make in yourself. So when you're doing that and you're investing in things, you want to surround yourself with a supportive network and supportive people. Seek out relationships with individuals that uplift you, but also be ready to let go of relationships that don't support what you want to do. If you're a fan of The Big Bang Theory, later on in the series, maybe around season 10 or 11, there had always been this type of back and forth between Howard and Raj, two of the characters in that show. And it just happens to be one of my favorite shows, but this is a really interesting storyline. Where Howard and Raj always had kind of this relationship where Howard always was putting down Raj in a funny way for a laugh. And finally, in a conversation that Raj had with his father finally said, I don't think this relationship is good for you. And it had to do with the fact that Raj was going out for a specific position, a new job, and he was feeling like he didn't deserve this new job. And the father was saying, listen, you totally deserve this new job. Maybe it's your friends you need to let go of. And Raj finally realized at that point in time that Howard had played a huge part in how he thought about himself and his abilities and his negative idea of what he could achieve and what he couldn't, because Howard was always putting down Raj in a way that was negative. And so Raj cut Howard off. And for, you know, granted, it's a sitcom, so they came back together in a funny way and everything. But Raj put his foot down and said, I need to let you go. This is not good for me. I need supportive friends in my life. And it was a really interesting way to see that how the writers put that into the program. If you want to watch some of that, it's available on HBO Max right now. I don't know how long it'll be there. It's been there for a while. But that particular storyline in that sitcom really, really brought this home, where Raj took the steps that in his friend group, he cut off his best friend because his best friend was not supporting the work that he wanted to do and was not helping his idea and the goals that he wanted to achieve. So overcoming imposter syndrome is a journey. It requires self-reflection. It requires compassion, and it does require a commitment to personal growth. By recognizing the signs of imposter syndrome, by reframing negative thoughts, by seeking support, celebrating successes, And embracing continuous learning, you can begin to recognize and appreciate your own self-worth. And remember that everyone experiences self-doubt at certain times. But self-doubt does not define your capabilities or value. It's just how you think about them. With time and practice, you can cultivate a mindset of self-assurance and confidence that you want to pursue your goals, that you want to find the clients, that you want to build the studio that you want. Embrace your unique abilities and let go of some of these thoughts that are imposed by imposter syndrome. You have the power to overcome and thrive. It all just is determined by how you think about a situation and how those thoughts determine your actions. I hope this podcast today has helped you understand that imposter syndrome is regular. It's something that everyone at very high levels experience, and that there are definite tools that you can use to help ease those negative thoughts so that you can take the action that you want in your business and your life. If you have any questions, I'm always available for you to reach out to. I have a brand new podcast page. Check that out. There's some really great resources there. Thank you to Enphoto for sponsoring this podcast. We're going to listen to a word from them now, and we will see you next time on the Focal Points podcast. This isn't going to surprise you. I love Enphoto, and they have so many beautiful products that I can offer my clients. One thing that they released 2 years ago were their 3x3 accordion albums that you could get in many different album covers with different embossing. I like the suede cover with a little simple embossing to give to my clients as thank yous. I don't sell these. I offer them as thank yous. But what they did this year, which I love so, so much, is they announced two new sizes of these accordion albums. You can get them in 5x5 and now 4.5x5 inch sizes. And the way that I picture looking at these, granted, they are pocket portfolios for your clients to share their sessions, which is beautiful, but these can be great, incredible pocket portfolios for you to carry around so that you have, at a moment's notice, a lightweight, easy way to show off your portfolio to people who might be interested, people that you run into in the coffee shop line, the grocery store, or at a family gathering, and they want to know what you do. You can pull these out and show them to you and show them your beautiful images in print. It's all about printing, and especially the 4.5x5 inch portrait sized mini album. I'm going to be ordering several of those. So you haven't checked these out yet. You really need to. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. Head over to enphoto.com and check those out today. Thank you for listening. This has been Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time.